This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew Coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
I haven't seen Aaron play this. I shouldn't say that. We've seen him play this well for a long, long time, but he's playing at such a friggin' high level right now. And he don't miss, you know, and the shots down the field, the dimes he's dropping, and the receivers are making plays, and 17's all world right now, all those guys. I mean, it's going to be a huge challenge for us and to slow this group down. We're going to have to play really, really, really well. He's just masterful at it. He's Picasso. He's whoever. He's Michelangelo of the foot of quarterback play. I mean, this guy moved the game. COVID. I don't even want to go up there.
Jesus. Steve, I love a good friggin'. I have come to really appreciate that word when people drop. I mean, you don't get a lot of those in life. The friggins. No. They're good. Love a friggin'.
Chuck Pagano, Bears defensive coordinator, talking about Aaron Rodgers. And he's Picasso. And tomorrow night, the Green Bay Picasso will be going through his navy blue period, his navy blue and orange period, I suspect. So let's see what might be in store by talking to somebody who's familiar with the Packers, covered them for a lot of years. His name is Tyler Dunn. He joins us on the Alpamonte Ford Hotline, Alpamonte Ford in Melrose Park. And he is branched out and writing the Go Long TD blog. And Tyler joins us. Thanks for coming on today, Tyler. I appreciate it.
Great to be here. Thanks so much for having me, guys. It's been too long. It's been a couple of years. It's great to reconnect.
Yes, it is. So out of the last... the Bears are, this is it, sit down, Bears fans, and be ready to throw up in your mouth. They're 1-6 on Sunday nights against the Packers.
What?
And most notable, if you hate Matt Nagy and Ryan Pace, or if you really hate Ryan Pace, you can get Aaron Rodgers can get them fired tomorrow night. Because in 2014, that's pretty much Aaron Rodgers and the Packers offense got Phil Emery and Mark Trestman fired. Trestman almost got fired at halftime, it seems, when it was 42-0. And that's the kind of stuff that sticks. Compare that Aaron Rodgers to the one we're watching now, Tyler Dunn.
Whew, a lot's changed, I guess, in 6 years for Aaron Rodgers and the Packers. I mean, yeah, they were unstoppable then. I think it was the MVP then. They were within one collapse in Seattle, the Super Bowl then, and then the wheels started coming off piece by piece between him and Mike McCarthy. I mean, the offense just fell apart. So, I think it's back. I think he's reinvigorated. I think Matt LaFleur's system has reinvigorated him. I think everything around him, so many young players, it's a completely different offense, a completely different team, and I would be worried if I'm the Bears. I mean, it was a brutal loss for the Packers against Indianapolis, but for all the complaining and whining and worries about, oh, my God, there's no talent around Aaron Rodgers. How could they draft a quarterback? I mean, give me a break. He's got a top-three receiver. He's got a top-five running back. He's got the best left tackle in football. He's got a lot of really good young weapons. I think they're in a really good spot offensively. So it's back, and I don't think he's an MVP front runner by any means, but it's going to be tough for the Bears to slow this guy down.
Tyler, I'm glad you said that about everybody whining about the Packers drafting Jordan Love and not grabbing a receiver. There were indications from Rodgers himself that he wasn't particularly pleased about that, and who would be? I mean, he's ultimately there
right,
to replace
right,
Aaron Rodgers.
Right. Yeah.
Right? But here's what I said then, and I say it now. Aaron Rodgers is an elite quarterback. Elite quarterbacks, by definition, make everybody else around them better. They make wide receivers good. They take somebody that maybe is, say, Marquez Valdez-Scantling. Scantling is starting to look like a really good receiver in the NFL at times. That's what Tom Brady has done throughout his career. That's what Aaron Rodgers has done throughout his career. They're the ones that make receivers great, not the other way around. Maybe Davante Adams is the exception. He might be great anywhere. But he is the maker of good receivers and good weapons, is he not?
He is, definitely. And I think there's even like another layer to that. You know, when Aaron Rodgers was at his best with Mike McCarthy, it wasn't because of Mike McCarthy. I mean, he was really freelancing. It was the extended play. It was the off-platform stuff, the off-scheduled stuff when, I mean, Bears fans have seen it way too many times probably. That was when he was at his best. I think when he's at his best now, it's kind of within the confines of the scheme and the offense. And that was a big concern, right? I mean, a couple of years ago, when we did the story on the breakup between him and Mike McCarthy, I thought Greg Jennings kind of put it best, like, you know, this doesn't have to end poorly. I mean, his career can be rejuvenated. He can turn this around if he's open to it, if he's willing to maybe swallow his pride and his ego a bit and play within the offense. And for the most part, it seems like he has. And I think that this is an offense that is quarterback friendly. It's going to scheme things up. It's going to rely on a really good ground game, which they have. Aaron Jones, Jamal Williams. We haven't even seen A.J. Dillon yet. He's a beast. So I think that's another layer to it. But yeah, he does make receivers better, but it seems like he's been open to playing within an offense when he wasn't before, at least not fully under Mike McCarthy.
We're talking with Tyler Dunn. He has spent years covering the Packers. He is now spending his time writing the Go Long TD blog. Check it out at golongtd.com. And Tyler is talking Bears Packers with us. Here's something. See, the Bears defense is really good until the offense just kills it and wears it out. The Bears defense is really good, and yet there's something so troubling that came out of the Bears last game, which was Kirk Cousins, who sucks on national TV, going 10 of 11 on third down for 149 yards and two TDs. And it's really scary because you say if Kirk Cousins can do that and he sucks on national TV, then what is Aaron Rodgers going to do? And is there a kind of defense you've seen this year? Because he didn't do anything in the second half last week against Indy. What is it that – and he fumbled even. He turned the ball over. So what is it that Indy changed teams that have been successful, defenses that have been successful against him, what have they done so we can imagine the Bears doing it to at least keep this game from becoming a 42-0 thing at half the way that 2014 game did?
That's a great question. I guess this would be the case against all elite quarterbacks, but to pressure without blitzing, and if there's times where Aaron Rodgers has struggled, I mean, big time against Todd Bowles and the Buccaneers this year, I mean, they were able to just generate a ton of pressure without needing to send extra players because if you're going to blitz somebody, he's going to know exactly where that blitz is, and they're going to react to it. They're in a place offensively where those young receivers are able to think the way Aaron Rodgers is thinking. So I think that's key. And, you know, in the past, just thinking back, there were times when defenses could sit back even, you know, with a couple safeties deep and just force him to work the length of the field. I think, you know, you mentioned the Vikings against Russell Wilson earlier this year. As young as they are and as bad as they've been on defense, that's kind of what Mike Zimmer did against Russell Wilson, and it worked for 58 or 60 minutes. You know, he had to kind of just the drives take longer. When they have 10 plays, 12 plays, 15 plays, something can go wrong, something can go bad. And you're not having those 52-point blowouts like you mentioned against Mark Trustman's team. So I think that's key, is maybe sit back, make him work for it. The problem there is with Matt LaFleur and that running scheme they have, they're just going to say, okay, I guess we'll just run. And Aaron Jones is a heck of a back. So I think it's almost pick your poison. But if I was the Bears, I might kind of gravitate toward that.
As far as the Packers' defense is concerned, you know, the one thing that we keep circling is that they do allow, it, on average, 114 yards per game rushing. How much is that actually affected Green Bay for those of us who don't watch every single moment of Packers football?
Yeah, it's kind of strange because I think, like, personnel wise they've added some attitude, you know. It's just one of the criticisms of the team that Ted Thompson's drafted, they never really took a chance on that kind of temperament and that kind of just dude out there that's going to want to rip you to shreds. And I think that kind of hurt them. They get in the playoffs and kind of a soft team at key moments. And they haven't drafted that kind of player. They've got some guys on defense that do scare you, some playmakers, yet I guess it's not too scary for giving up, you know, 120, 130 yards on the ground. I don't know what the issue is. I think they've never really been able to just find those linebackers that can go sideline to sideline and stuff the run. That's a tough player to find. They've had some injuries. Overall, though, they're just going to be a defense that is going to have to rely on, you know, forcing turnovers, creating pressure with Darius Smith. Now, Preston Smith has kind of struggled this year, but it looks like he's picked it up of late. Jair Alexander, he can take away a wide receiver, so that's a good thing. Overall, I still think this is a defense that can win in the playoffs. We've seen good teams, Super Bowl teams, get gashed on the ground, and we could have that debate all day on just the importance of running the ball and stopping the run.
Well, yeah, I mean, that's why I was asking you, because it's like I'm looking at that from a Bears perspective. I want that to matter, but it's not like the Packers allowing 114 rushing yards per game has really affected them that much, has it?
No, you're right. You're right. I think it. I don't care, right? You don't want to give up that many yards on the ground, but
right.
I don't know if they care as much as we might think. You know, just the way the NFL's set up, it's. You got to win a shootout. I think they're okay trying to win a shootout.
Yep.
We're talking with Tyler Dunn. He writes the Go Long TD blog. Go check that out. A lot of football knowledge inside there. So we obviously know the difference between Hall of Fame quarterbacking in Green Bay and garbage in Chicago. There are a lot of times where we see the Hall of Fame tight ends, or at least quality tight ends, made better because of the Hall of Fame quarterbacks up there. And here's the thing. Jimmy Graham is not any faster than he was last year when he sucked for the Packers, and he still has never met a block he didn't want to whiff on. But he has been a red zone. He's already ahead of last year's touchdown. So I don't know if that makes a difference in tomorrow's game. I don't know if Jimmy, whatever your take on Jimmy is leaving there that way, why it didn't get done, why at least it's been more productive than a lot of us thought in Chicago. So that tight end, why didn't it work up there with that quarterback?
It is strange that he's way more productive in Chicago with all the issues in Chicago than Green Bay with Aaron Rodgers. But just thinking of the tight end position in Green Bay, big picture, since JerMichael Finley had that career-ending neck injury, and thinking back, what was it, 2013, I think it was? Since then, they really haven't been able to just find a stud there. And I don't even know if it's the tight end's fault. I don't know if it's a position that Aaron Rodgers isn't going to mentally go to again and again and again. But, you know, Martellus Bennett, he didn't work out. Jimmy Graham didn't work out. Lo and behold, like, maybe they found their answer in Bob Tonyan and Jay Sternberger. They've kind of got a collection of guys at the position now. And I just think it might be more of a product of the quarterback and his process at the line of scrimmage and who he's looking to, when he's looking to that player. And in Chicago, Jimmy Graham is just going to get targeted more. You're right. I think at that price, I think, you know, they gave him a lot, and that's probably about as much as they could have expected out of Jimmy Graham. You're not expecting him to block. You're not expecting him to get any separation. He's catching some touchdowns, and gosh, there's probably bigger problems in Chicago. So, hey, that's a good thing that worked out for the Bears in their front office.
You think the Packers are better this year than they were last year?
I think so. You know, I know they've had some down moments, but this is still a team that is just trying something that you don't see in the NFL. And, you know, we were talking about that criticism that Gutekunst and Matt LaFleur got back in the draft, and how could you not draft a weapon? But this is the one team in the NFL, I think, that is willing to try to build two teams within one. They're trying to win now and win in the future, because the worst time to look for a quarterback is when you don't have a quarterback. I don't know if Jordan Love's good. I don't think anybody really knows if he's good, but they do. I mean, they're going to develop him. They're going to invest the time in him, and it worked before in 05. I mean, they were a contender then. They were a 10-6 team that was loaded on offense. Ted Thompson took over, and they drafted a quarterback anyways. So for all of the madness and the anger and the frustration over not surrounding him with weapons, I think in the long run, this is a way to build a team that maybe more teams should kind of emulate. Because how often do you get into March or even into the draft, and teams, all of a sudden, that they're reaching for a quarterback or they're reaching for a free agent signing, and they're scrambling at the most important position. You got to have a plan, and they've got a plan. So I think it's definitely a better team.
Can you let the Bears know that you got to have a plan? Because I think that's been their problem all along. Tyler, we appreciate your time, and good luck on the Go Long TD blog. Good luck with that. Quality stuff.
Hey, I appreciate it, guys. Thanks so much for having me.
Thanks, man. It's Tyler Dunn. I'm Steve Rosenblum. He's Mark Grody. And now I think that we have time. Mark, I want to do what Mark heard. I did not want to jam it in last hour when we didn't have as much time. Now we got room to have you explain what Mark heard. I think we should do that after this break. What do you think, Mark?
I have five key cuts that I heard, and I think you will think are very interesting.
That's what we're going to do then. I'm Steve Rosenblum. He's Mark Grody. Saturday Suckage. Coming up next, what Mark heard. Dang it. We've been waiting for this. Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score.
We don't have turds on this team.
It's time for What Mark Heard, a rundown of the best sound coming out of Hallis Hall this week on Saturday Suckage with Mark Grody and Steve Rosenblum.
Boy, everyone is stupid except me.
Welcome back. Saturday Suckage, as mentioned, and What Mark Heard is the name of the segment. Our intrepid Bears reporter, he covers the Bears during the week for The Score and the sidelines on game night, game day for WBBM 780 AM 105.9 FM. So he brings us What Mark Heard, insightful, interesting stuff during acquired during the week, and all piled up and brought to you right here. Mark, what did Mark hear?
I was surprised to hear what I heard from Mitchell Trubisky, in that he was surprised that he was ultimately benched. Let's listen to Mitch.
More than anything, I was caught off guard. I think in the beginning of the season, I was just starting to build some momentum. And then it kind of felt like a blindside, and then I just had to embrace a new role. And the first couple of days, it sucked being in that role, but I was trying to just continue to keep perspective and think long term. And I want to play in this league a long time, and if I want to do that, there's things I just need to continue to get better at. And at that point, I just changed my mindset to embrace practice. I was doing my job in the scout team, just trying to give a defense a good look, taking a lot of pride into that and preparing them for the weeks. And defense has been playing really, really well. And I felt like I was a part of that, being on scout team and just leading those guys on the scout team and giving them good looks. And I did feel during those weeks I got better as a player, just testing different throws, leading the offense and seeing a lot of good looks from our defense and going against them.
Blindsided and caught off guard. Those are the key parts to that took me a little bit off guard. And I say that because there was a quarterback competition at the beginning of this year. The first 2 years, Trubisky admitted he underperformed. He won a quarterback competition by a hair, by a nose, and then had a two-hour conversation with Matt Nagy before the season started about, here's what you got to do to keep the gig. And he didn't look great in those first three games. So that he felt blindsided, I thought, was dramatic and surprising, considering when there is a quarterback competition and there is somebody behind you whom the Bears spent a lot of money on, I don't see how one could have been blindsided by that.
Do you think he's naive or stupid, or where does that come from? He was down 26-10 when he got yanked and stayed yanked.
I don't know. Maybe it comes from confidence. Maybe it was his own ego that, you know, thought, you know, look, I'm the guy. I'm the starting quarterback. Nick Foles is my backup. And that's the way it's always been for Mitch, too. I mean, he always had that safety net of Chase Daniel in the past, and maybe he thought that was the same deal with Nick Foles, that it would have to get really, really bad before, or an injury would have to occur before we would see Chase Daniel in the past or Nick Foles right now. So, yeah, I appreciated the honesty. I was just surprised by it.
I thought it was equally revealing, as you were saying, as you led us into it, equally revealing when Mitch Trubisky said, when he talked about being on the scout team, kind of felt outside. He wasn't the guy. Everything was being catered to.
Yes.
And he's sort of used to that, so he's had to find his own way. And he talked about trying different throws and different things like that. It's like, he didn't... Why did it take that? Why wasn't he trying this before? But I think that was kind of revealing that the security blanket, the net that he had, was suddenly everything was gone.
Yeah, and absolutely. That was another very honest moment, that he is not the guy who everybody's going to pamper and make room for anymore. And maybe that helped him. I do like the fact that he was talking about making throws that he hadn't before. And that's why when we were talking to Emma before, what I'm looking forward to is Mitchell Trubisky imposing his will a little bit more, knowing what's at stake for him in the final six games. It's his career, you know? So maybe he does run when in the past he wouldn't. Maybe he does throw downfield when in the past he wouldn't. I want to see Trubisky take some more chances, impose his will a little bit more. Listen to your coaches, but maybe be your own man a little bit and really just kind of say, bleep you, this is what I'm going to do here. So that's Trubisky on that. The next one, you will hear the question in this, so I don't even need to give context. Here's more from Trubisky.
Have you been able to figure out Bears fans, or maybe just fans in general, because there was a time maybe when people wanted you replaced as quarterback, and now, I don't know if you've been paying attention, but people have been calling for you over the last 3 weeks, and they're ecstatic that you're back. What do you think when you hear that?
I haven't been paying attention to it, and I really focus on trying not to pay attention to it. So I've been here for 4 years. I'm still trying to figure it out. So, but I got nothing but love in my heart for the fans of the city of Chicago. And I think if on offense, defense, and special teams, if we can match the fans' passion for this team, then I think that's how you go out there and play with a lot of will and passion and put a good product on the field that you're proud of, because that's what we want. We want the fans to be proud. And that's all I'm trying to do, play football this weekend with a great opportunity.
Game one in 2019, last year, coming off the 12-4 season, the 100th year anniversary game against the Packers, the Bears and Mitchell Trubisky were booed loudly. I'm sure there would have been many occasions this year where the Bears would have been booed loudly as well. And, you know, Trubisky has endured, and it is crazy because I get it. Like, when Nick Foles took over, everybody wanted Foles. When Foles started to fail, you had people naturally calling for Trubisky. It could have been anybody. Whomever the backup was, people would have been calling for. But I do think that there is some sentimental value when it comes to Trubisky, because he is one of their own. It's that tough love. He is a draft pick of the Bears, so he has Bears in his blood. So there's always been a popularity that Trubisky has had. Even he's got tons of detractors, which I get, but there's always been a popularity that he has had, and people, it's true. People do. Fans do. I think a lot of members of the media do. They want to see him succeed. And obviously, you know, the team that drafted him wants to see him succeed as well.
I just want to see anybody succeed at that position. It's remarkable. And especially in this game, this opponent tomorrow night highlights the complete ineptitude. And really, you have to include ownership in this too, because they have zero institutional knowledge of the league, and they're going out and hiring somebody with a woodland creature on his head to go find a GM and a coach, and they find quarterbacks, and then nobody's there, and it is such a mess, and it never gets highlighted more, underscored more. Then when there's a game against Green Bay, and here comes Aaron Rodgers after a career of Brett Favre. So we'll move along. Right, now, we'll move along.
What else? Right, now they're threatening us with Jordan Love in the future too. So
sure,
let's keep him down. Let's keep him down for a few years. So then the Packers have to make a choice on whether keeping him or getting rid of him, like the Patriots would always do with their backup quarterbacks. But anyway. Yeah. All right, man. I want you to hear now from Anthony Miller, because this was a pretty honest, bold statement that he made, and the context is that issues on offense this year have hurt individual player production. Here's Miller.
I feel like there's been a lot of underlying issues within our offense that hasn't allowed everybody to blossom as they would want to, but. We're just going to keep working as a unit, and hopefully you see some improvements.
Got to play the part of the good soldier if you are on this offense. I mean, I don't know that here's the thing, man. I don't know that this offense is catered to any individual, because they're so confused with the identity at times. Miller this year, 34 catches, 349 yards. He's been targeted 57 times, which is tied for third on the team with Jimmy Graham. Actually, the targets have gone Allen Robinson number one with 95 targets, and then you have actually Anthony Miller and Jimmy Graham second with 57 apiece, and then Darnell Mooney is now dropped to third with 56 targets. But it's just because of the chaos of the offense and the banged up offensive line, it is again struggling to find identity. I guess the identity still is, more than anything, Steve, is probably Allen Robinson, just because he's putting up his usual numbers, although it hasn't always been pretty. Although he's not getting into the end zone, Robinson, only 3 touchdowns.
No, his agent made that pretty clear when there were red zone opportunities against the Vikings. His agent tweeted out that pretty clearly about how do you not look for this guy? How do you not throw this guy? How do you not let him win leverage and jump balls and things like that? But here's the thing about Anthony Miller. I'm glad you brought that to the airwaves. I hadn't heard that. And that was that. There's good reporting, Dickie Dunn. I think he has to understand he's one of the problems. His inability to stick to details, as his coaching staff has said, his inability to run the precise routes they want, to go where they want, to be in the spot that they want, so that the offense can function better, he's one of those guys. Maybe he knows that. He just wasn't given the opportunity to say it. But he's one of the reasons the offense hasn't been as good as it could be.
The problem with Anthony Miller since he got here, and he had a decent rookie season. He led the team in touchdown catches that year.
Right.
But even in 2018, there were just times and games where he went away, where you just didn't see him, where he just wasn't a part of things. And I don't know if that's because he was running the wrong routes or his head wasn't in the game. I mean, it sounds like it from everything that we can infer from what coaches are saying, right? And it's still like every single year of Anthony Miller's career, there are these flashes where okay, I get it. I see why they moved up in the second round to get him. And he is a terrific, terrific athlete. I mean, he's probably one of the best athletes pound for pound on the team. But it's that word consistency where he goes away and you're like, where is that guy? Whatever happened to Anthony Miller? And then some games he wins the game for you. So that's the story.
All right. So what? Next, what Mark heard.
Yes, next. Okay,
next
we got.
Is?
I got two more for you, man. Let's slide in a defensive one before we finish with an offensive one.
Okay.
Robert Quinn, big money man on defense, has not made his presence felt, so to speak. Robert Quinn asked to evaluate himself this year.
Robert, how would you characterize and evaluate your season?
My season. I'll be honest, it's been very average, not up to my standards, but if we got 6 more games left, anything can happen. I know how I prepare, I know how I train. Statistically, it just hasn't been my season, but effort, charisma, all that stuff's been there. It's just quote unquote getting the numbers that we're all looking for. Just hasn't been one of my best years, but we still got a chance, and we're still a great defense, even though, my performance, we're still holding together as a great defense. So it's not all just about me.
Yeah, he has Quinn this year one sack, and that was the first snap in which he played after missing the first game with an injury. Six solo tackles so far this year. He has had a couple of forced fumbles, two forced fumbles so far this year, so that has been good. It's been a strange season for Robert Quinn, and you know, there was some off the field things that he was dealing with, which we're not privy to, but that's what we were told in training camp. Then he had the injury, and then the ramp up period, and maybe his lack of familiarity or thriving in a 3-4 defensive scheme. So it's hard to figure out what exactly has been going on. And I asked him a question at the end of the press conference too, on how much like normalcy there has been in the building. You know, does it feel routine yet because of all that has gone on with COVID? And he said that it's bizarre and it's been hard for him. He didn't use that as an excuse. It was just him answering my question. But I did wonder, too, how hard it's made for him to feel part of things when everything is so wacky out at Hallis Hall. But it's plain and simple, he has not been an upgrade from Leonard Floyd yet.
Leonard Floyd is pantsing him in numbers, which speaks to him and the Bears coaching staff. What the Rams are getting out of Leonard Floyd is pretty remarkable as far as those raw numbers are concerned. When Robert Quinn says very average, he's lying. He's worse than that. Did he at any point talk about how he's going to stop sucking and become the guy that they're paying all that money to?
I don't think anybody actually asked him that question. Robert, when are you going to stop sucking? So I... Maybe I'm not as good of a reporter as you think I am.
No, I just wondered if maybe he opined it. You were able to conclude that from something he said.
Well, he does have six games to go. And at least he's not, you know, there are some guys who, when they get later in their career, they are just in it to get paid. I don't get that from Robert Quinn. Like, I don't feel that from him. Yeah. I think he is genuinely frustrated. And I think he wants to prove that he is what he always has been in his career. So he's got six games to do it, and believe it or not, I wonder if Bears fans would agree with this. I'd still rather have Robert Quinn than Leonard Floyd. And Floyd is having a good season. There is no doubt about it, but we've seen nothing to suggest that Leonard Floyd's consistency will continue, because he had spasms of goodness with the Bears as well, especially when his rookie year. Didn't he have nine?
Yeah. Yeah, he's got seven sacks now. Robert Quinn has one. Why do you suck?
No doubt. Like, that's a fair comparison, but I'd still rather have Robert Quinn than Leonard Floyd, because I saw Leonard Floyd.
When we talked to Tyler Dunn a moment ago, I mean, I had underlined my Robert Quinn point. I'm glad you brought that up. Tyler Dunn said that what bothers Aaron Rodgers, like all elite quarterbacks, if you can get pressure with a four-man rush, then you have maximum number dropping, and you're going to be able to keep them to shorter. You're not going to get beat deep. You're going to be able to beat that kind of quarterback. That's the way it's worked with Rodgers. They can't do that if Robert Quinn sucks. He's got to be that guy. That tomorrow night has to be the game if they're going to be able to do that and contain Aaron Rodgers. If they're able to get a four-man rush, they've got maximum chance of that defense holding down maybe the MVP long enough for the offense to, or maybe even the defense scores. Maybe they win 14-13. The defense has a touchdown and Cordarrelle Patterson has another touchdown. And they just need the offense not to turn the ball over.
What I'd like to see is Chuck Pagano dial up one of those classic Roquan Smith linebacker blitzes like they did back in 2018. Of course, that wasn't Chuck Pagano. That was Vic Fangio. But I think it's time, man. Roquan's been your best player. Free him from his spot and have him at least one time in this game. I would like to see that, some creative schemed blitzing for the team as opposed to just the pressure that you were discussing. All right, last one, man. Let's go back to the offense and the offensive coordinator and the play caller. He is Bill Lazor, and the question was asked of him, all right, you've never called plays for Mitchell Trubisky. Trubisky hasn't played since, you know, the first half of week three against Atlanta. How's this all going to jive? Here's Lazor.
You'd probably be surprised at how little in the calls has changed. Some of what happened early in the year was unique to Mitch and his abilities, and some of what happened early in the year was part of strategically how we game planned. So I think we have the kind of offense that can make changes like that when necessary. I think we've shown that throughout the year as far as how much we run, how much we pass, how much we are in the shotgun, how much we're under center, how much we move the pocket, how much we throw quick, try to throw deep. You know, those changes can be made pretty seamlessly in my mind.
He didn't say a whole lot there. I get it, but it just brings up the conversation maybe that we were having earlier, Steve, that Bill Lazor's got to have something up his sleeve. He had to have, while watching Matt Nagy call plays, there has to be something up his sleeve that he was thinking about when Trubisky was in that maybe Matt Nagy wasn't thinking about, or something that Matt Nagy wouldn't do that Bill Lazor will do.
Well, we would like to see that. That would be interesting, something to talk about. I know we have to take a break, but when we come back, there's a former Bear and former Packer who had something to say about that play caller and the idea of the head coach not calling plays, and kind of created a bit of a, I don't know, maybe you think it's a little devious. We'll discuss that after this. I'm Steve Rosenblum. He's Mark Grody. This is Saturday Suckage, Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score. Welcome in, welcome back. Steve Rosenblum, Mark Grody with you, Saturday Suckage. We suck so you don't have to, though the Bears' offense seems incapable of being saved. Top of the hour, we'll talk with Josh Nelson of Sox Machine. The online blog has, they have the most valuable merch going. They just have a great idea. I want to talk to him about that and some additions to the coaching staff for the White Sox and what it means that it's a two-time DUI guy still in charge, and nobody's really talked about it. Court dates keep getting pushed back. But for now, Mark, something came out. As the Bears' offense with a new play caller endured its another four-game losing streak, second consecutive year of that. Bill Lazor only had the one game this year in that. But another horrible offensive showing. They didn't score more than 20 points for the 16th time in the last 26 games. So there's been kind of a death spiral that it doesn't matter who calls plays. But it kind of does to Hunter Hillenmeyer. You remember the former Bear? He's also a former Packer.
Sure.
And he tweeted out, that's why Nagy handed over play calling as a passive-aggressive way to point finger at the GM's talent and at the general manager and the talent versus the play calling. And I never really thought of it that way. It didn't strike me as Nagy doing anything that devious, but I could see how Hunter Hillenmeyer would think, yeah, look, I'm showing the world, I'm changing the play caller, and the talent's not good enough, the GM's not good enough, and that's the way he looked at that change. Did that strike you at all?
Well, no, I don't think that's true, because Matt Nagy hated having to give up play calling, and that was the last thing he wanted to do. And who knows, maybe somebody from the top actually told him he had to give up play calling, at least try it. But it does. I get what Hunter Hillenmeyer is saying. Yeah, you put Bill Lazor in there. Lazor, you know, from Minnesota. If anything, it was worse than when Matt Nagy was calling plays. So I get what he's saying, but no. Knowing Matt Nagy a little bit and being around him every day for, you know, at least during Bear seasons for 3 years, he hated having to do that. And I do believe that. Like, his life's blood is calling plays, and he's going to call plays again someday for the Bears, Matt Nagy. I promise you that.
I tend to agree, but I thought it was Hunter Hillenmeyer. I could see how he arrived at that, how
yes,
he thought that,
I get it.
How he thought
I do,
that
yeah,
it was
I
a
get
passive
it, yeah.
aggressive move. But one of the other things that makes your argument, and makes the argument that it really wasn't a passive aggressive move to point fingers at the talent, the GM, is that I think Matt Nagy more than Ryan Pace wears Nick Foles. The failure that is Nick Foles seems to fall, do you think, I believe it falls more on Matt Nagy and his coaching staff, because everything was supposed to be wonderful if they had to resort to that, if they had to break glass in case of emergency, and they did. It was supposed to be without all the excuses and without a four-game losing streak in games started by Nick Foles, and yet it's been a disaster. He's been worse. I think Matt Nagy wears Nick Foles. Matt Nagy and his coaching staff wear Nick Foles more than Ryan Pace does, as much as Ryan Pace wears Mitch Trubisky.
I agree with that, because that was this was Matt Nagy's guy. It seemed like Pace brought in Nick Foles because Matt Nagy was connected to him. So was his entire coaching staff. So was Jim DeFilippo. So was Bill Lazor. Juan Castillo. These guys have all been connected to him at one time or other. So this was Ryan Pace's gift to the coaching staff, and it hasn't worked. He has simply not meshed. Look, I don't think that Nick Foles is as bad as he has been with the Bears in four games, but because I've never seen him look that flustered. I think that's a good word for the way Nick Foles has played. Mm-hmm. At the hint of pressure and at pressure, he just comes undone like a rookie would, and just doesn't know what he has not been able to work with that offensive line at all. So it's been bad. But I don't think he's that bad.
Well, we'll see if the ability to run and run away from the mistakes and shortcomings of that offensive line and that offense and whatever the receiving talent is helped by Mitch Trubisky, who, you know, is sort of running for his future, actually. And that can only be a good thing until he gets hurt, and then Tyler Bray is your quarterback, and then
Kyle Sloter, and on and on and on.
And then I guess it's basketball season. All right.
Hey, they start practice on Tuesday. You know that,
I know.
Right?
Tuesday? Yeah, may not be able to. You know what? Halfway through Sunday night's game, Tuesday may not be able to come fast enough. That's all I had to say.
Is that really where we are? No.
Yep. Yes, it is. We're going to take a break. When we come back, we'll talk some White Sox.
Patrick Williams with the dunk.
Yeah. Okay. That's it. Let him just do what he wants. Okay, we'll take a break.
Yeah.
Saturday Suckage, Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score.
Okay, let's do it.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Whatever happens today, plan to conquer it with a fresh cup of True Brew Coffee. True North Convenience Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. Our brew is truly perfect for any time of the day. During October and November, enter for a chance to win free coffee for a year. Check the True Rewards app for details or find the mobile app in your favorite app store. Offer valid 10/7 through 12/1. True Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Did you know your credit card points and miles can lose value to inflation? Credit card companies often reduce the redemption value of your points and miles. Now, imagine a credit card with rewards that can grow in value. With the Gemini credit card, you can earn Bitcoin or one of over 50 other cryptos instantly with no annual fee. Every swipe at the store or gas pump earns you instant rewards deposited straight to your account. Plus, sign up now for a $200 Bitcoin bonus to kickstart your rewards. Visit Gemini.com/card today. Check out the link in the description for more information on rates and fees. Again, if you're looking to invest in Bitcoin but don't know where to start, the Gemini credit card makes it easy.
The Gemini credit card is issued by WebBank. In order to qualify for the $200 crypto intro bonus, you must spend $3,000 in your first 90 days. Terms apply. Some exclusions apply to instant rewards in which rewards are deposited when the transaction posts. This content is not investment advice, and trading crypto involves risk. For more details on rates, fees, and other cost information, see rates and fees. The Gemini credit card may not be used to make gambling-related purchases.
Make every day a Disney Plus and Hulu day, and get everything you love in one plan. Start your day with Monday Mayhem and watch episodes of Bob's Burgers. How about a Touchdown Tuesday with the hilarious new comedy, Chad Powers? Or a Whodunit Wednesday with high potential and everyone's favorite amateur sleuths in the hit series Only Murders in the Building? Maybe you're in the mood for a thrilling Thursday. Grab some popcorn and stream huge blockbusters like Marvel Studios' Thunderbolts on Disney+. Or get caught up with the most enthralling news on what you need to know. Gather the fam for a Flashback Friday and binge all episodes of Modern Family or Grey's Anatomy. So, discover something every day on Disney Plus and Hulu. It's the movies and shows you love, every day. 18 and up only, offer valid for eligible subscribers only, terms apply.